From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Our hope in Christ for the future is the mainspring and the mainstay of our joy here. It will animate our hearts to think often of heaven, for all that we can desire is promised there. Here we are weary and toil-worn, but yonder is the land of rest, where the sweat of labor shall no more bedew the worker's brow, and fatigue shall be forever banished. To those who are weary and spent, the word rest is full of heaven. We are always in the field of battle. We are so tempted within and so molested by foes without that we have little or no peace. But in heaven we shall enjoy the victory, when the banner shall be waved aloft in triumph and the sword shall be sheathed. And we shall hear our captain say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. We have suffered bereavement after bereavement, but we are going to the land of the immortal, where graves are unknown things. Here sin is a constant grief to us, but there we shall be perfectly holy, for there shall by no means enter into that kingdom anything which defileth. Hemlock springs not up in the furrows of celestial fields. Oh, is it not joy that you are not to be in banishment forever? That you are not to dwell eternally in this wilderness, but shall soon inherit Canaan? Nevertheless, let it never be said of us that we are dreaming about the future and forgetting the present. Let the future sanctify the present to highest uses. Through the Spirit of God, the hope of heaven is the most potent force for the product of virtue. It is a fountain of joyous effort. It is the cornerstone of cheerful holiness. The man who has this hope in him goes about his work with vigor, for the joy of the Lord is his strength. He fights against temptation with ardor, for the hope of the next world repels the fiery darts of the adversary. He can labor without present reward, for he looks for a reward in the world to come.
For all the Savior paid redemption's price, when upon the cross he made the sacrifice. Hear his words of triumph sounding from the tree. Hear his shout sounding of victory. It is finished. Sins are scarlet, they shall be as snow. For the blood of Christ is stronger than your foe. He has won the battle, let us all rejoice. Praise his name, tell his fame, hear his voice. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, through God's
Jesus Christ has died, salvation is complete. Follow to his cross and worship at his feet. Listen to his shout resounding far and near. Still it's heard, trust his word, never fear.
Though the battle rages, we may rest secure. With the King of heaven, victory is sure. Down the halls of time, his words forever ring. Hear his voice, make your choice, crown him King.
A desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. In this series, In the Law of God, Dr. Cairns has been expounding the full force of the Ten Commandments. Men tend to think of the Decalogue only in relation to outward acts, but Christ made it clear that it is the heart attitude with which God is most concerned. The only proper motive for obedience to God's law is the glory of God. Dr. Cairns has explained that the Ten Commandments express God's holiness and exalt His goodness. They expose man's wickedness while extolling Christ's righteousness. As we'll see today, the commandments expound the righteousness of believers as found in Christ alone. Now to conclude this message, the full force of the Ten Commandments, here is Dr. Cairns.
I've described to you the two tables of the law. The first table, our duty to God. The second table, our duty to man. The first table of the law confronts Jesus Christ and testifies, here I find a perfect love for God, for His worship, His name, His day, and His service. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I find no tardiness in obeying the Father, but only a constant zeal for His glory, untarnished by any inferior motive. The second table of the law confronts Christ, and it testifies, here I find a perfect love for man, such a love that neither angels nor man can comprehend. A love that feels no sacrifice to be too great, no suffering to be too painful, to save the guilty souls of men. The law minutely examines the Savior, and it says, here I find a body free from every taint of inbred sin. A body that is the perfect temple of the Holy Ghost. A body that has never been home to any unrighteous word or thought or deed. Here I find a mind unstained by any wicked lust, that has never entertained a thought that is in the slightest degree unworthy of God. Here I find a will inflexible in its disposition to all good, whose affections are invariably godly, and whose decisions or choices are unfailingly right. Here, says the law, is the sinless, pure, and holy Jesus. Any lesser righteousness would leave Christ a debtor to the law and unable to save anyone. But praise God, His was no lesser righteousness. Such perfection defies man's puny comprehension. I have to confess, this was something I wanted to deal with in this message tonight, and I laid it aside because I have to confess, I have no words. My imagination cannot stretch even to begin to grapple with this. So often we hear, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? And some facile idiot will come along and tell you very clearly what Jesus would have done, said, or thought. Now, there are certain circumstances in which I have no doubt what He would do, say, or think, because the Bible describes them. We have them recorded. But there are so many circumstances where, as a sinful man, without any understanding of sinless perfection, I can't even begin to know how a sinless being would respond, except to say He would respond sinlessly. What perfection is this? And it's the very perfection that the law of God demands, and it will settle for nothing less. Do you remember the words of the Savior tonight? Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, in no case will you enter into the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and Pharisees are the very pinnacle of human righteousness, and God rejects it. When you look at Jesus Christ, and I want you to understand this, every one of you who thinks that God somehow, someday, some way is going to accept you, I want you to understand this. That's the only standard that God will ever permit to enter heaven. There is no other. There is no other. Thank God the Lord Jesus, the great lawgiver, made Himself subject to the law. He owed nothing to the law of God. In fact, He was the very ground of that law's existence. And yet He made Himself a debtor to do the whole law. Why? He didn't need to work out a righteousness for Himself. He didn't need to earn heaven for Himself. He's the God of glory. But thank God he came to do it for you and me, to make a payment on our behalf, to fulfill the precept, and then to pay the penalty of the broken law. Where we had broken God's law, Christ fulfilled it. Where we earned its sentence of wrath, he earned its reward of righteousness. With that life of absolute perfection, the Lord Jesus went to the cross. The blood that he poured out in Calvary was the blood of that perfect righteousness. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And that pouring out of the blood of Jesus Christ was the pouring out in sacrifice to God and to his law, in satisfaction of all the sentence of that broken law. It was the pouring out of a life that had merited heaven, and yet that exposed itself to the terrors of the very wrath of God that constitute hell. The wrath of God that was my due upon the Lamb was laid. Voluntarily, Jesus purchased an eternal inheritance based upon his own perfect, sinless righteousness. And that is the inheritance that he freely confers on the people whom he has united to himself in the covenant of eternal redemption. That leads me quite naturally to the final thing that the law accomplishes. It not only expresses the holiness of God, exalts the goodness of God, exposes the wickedness of man, and extols the sinlessness of Christ, but bless God, it expounds the righteousness of believers. I would recommend you to read carefully Romans 5, 12 to the end, but especially the verses 17 through 19. Wherever you will read of our condemnation in Adam because of the imputation of his sin, and our justification in Christ because of the imputation of his righteousness. At the end of verse 18 we read, by the righteousness of one, that is of the Lord Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. The word justification means a making righteous unto justification of life. And then we have one of these great statements of Scripture. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The word made in that made righteous means constituted righteous. It refers to our legal standing. In other words, what this scripture is saying is, this is the law's verdict on believers. The law of God, which condemns the sinner and cries guilty, wicked, away with them. That same law now stands before a believer in Jesus Christ, and it gives its verdict, righteous. How can it do it? Why does it do it? Solely on the ground of the righteousness of Christ. For he is made unto us righteousness. Or as Jeremiah called him, the Lord our righteousness. This is our perfection. Isaiah the prophet in chapter 54 and 17 quoted these lovely words of Jehovah. He says of his people, their righteousness is of me. That's the righteousness I need. That's the righteousness I want. And beside it, I neither want nor need any other. Their righteousness is of me. And this, my friend, is the Christian's passport to glory. While Pharisees are trying to work their way to heaven, and they're all the time working their way deeper into sin and nearer to eternal damnation, believers have a passport to glory. What is it? The imputed righteousness of Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt receive it. How and why? Because to believers, God makes over, in a mighty transaction of grace, the totality of the righteousness of Christ. Think of that. Did Jesus ever deserve the wrath of God? No. Did he ever merit the highest place in heaven? Bless God, he did. Did he leave one part of the law of God unsatisfied or unfulfilled? Never! Then that is the righteousness of Jesus, and that is the righteousness that he gives to believers. What a righteousness it is. What a passport to glory. Think of what the scripture says. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's no slip between the cup and the lip here. As soon as God justifies a man, that man's glory is settled for all eternity. Why? Because it's founded in the righteousness of Christ. Well, may we exclaim with Paul, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. As I pondered this, it appeared to me this way, that the very law that thundered its anathemas on our hell-deserving heads should now pronounce us righteous and worthy of heaven. While we perform no meritorious work either to expiate our past guilt or earn our future glory, that the law of God should do that is a miracle of wisdom, love, and grace that is entirely worthy of our God. What a God. What a gospel. As I finish up tonight, I want to bring this home to your heart and mine. Listen to me very carefully. The law of God will either condemn you or clear you. The full force of God's law in its absolute perfection will reach right down to you. There will be no escaping that. Stop for a minute. Stop for a minute now. Don't let that thought slide past you. This will be the test of all our professions and all our religion and all our hopes. The full force of all the perfection of the law of God is going to reach down to you and me as if there were not another creature in the universe. Each one of us will stand under that full blinding glory of the perfection and the holiness of God's law. The question is this: will that law meet you in your sin? And if it does, it will damn you. instantaneously, eternally, irrevocably. It will damn you deeper than Sodom and Gomorrah, deeper than Tyre and Sidon, in the depths of a never, never, never ending hell. If the law of God touches you in your sin, it will damn you. Or will it meet you in Christ? Will it meet you in Christ? Already righteous. Where the law's fury and wrath has already burned itself out in the perfection of the Savior. And if the law meets you in Christ, it will lead you straight to heaven. Which will it be? Which will it be?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.